item, which is a report on the status of the trustees' strategy review. I will say a few words about this subject. As you know from our July meeting, the Board of Trustees is undertaking a strategy review, having in mind as time horizon the second decade in the life of the institution. We are all engaged as members of the Board of Trustees in this exercise, and in between meetings, the Executive Committee, which is made of all the chairs of all the committees of the board, proceed with the work in order to have a more intensive analysis and review of the possible issues and to report them back to the Board of Trustees. We are aware of the fact that the Monitoring Board has decided to conduct its own review. It has, in fact, undertaken this work under the chair of the Japanese member of the Monitoring Board. And there is an intention both on our side and on the side of the Monitoring Board to proceed in a cooperative and transparent way to the two reviews. As you know, the Monitoring Board has its own terms of reference, procedures, and authority to organize itself. It is not regulated by the constitution of the IFRS Foundation. It is recognized by the constitution of the IFRS Foundation. It has some special roles, including the role of approving the appointments of new members of the Board of Trustees and, of course, of the chair. There is a periodic meeting of the Monitoring Board with the trustees, and one of such meetings will take place at the end of October, and it will be devoted to the respective strategy reviews. How do we envisage our review? Well, the first consideration at the background, and which is the basis of our work, is the recognition of the extraordinary success that the organization has obtained in the very short period of 10 years. If we take as a measure, as measures, the two key elements, which are the standards first and their recognition and adoption second, and we compare this with similar rulemaking or standard setting activities in the financial area, such as prudential rules or rules concerning the securities market, which are issued by bodies that were created long before the IFRS Foundation came into existence. Basel Committee on Banking Supervision started in the mid-70s. The IOSCO is more or less as old as the Basel Committee. I think we observe that the latecomer, namely the IFRS Foundation, is the front runner today. The set of standards is a complete, basically a complete set of standards, very precise, not just overall rules or broad principle. It's made ahead of operational standards, and the adoption or the adherence to the standard is now a reality in over 130 countries with different degrees of adherence, going from full adoption by the European Union, which does not have a standard setting body of its own. It has is directly plugged, so to speak, on the IFRS, and this was an early decision taken at the beginning of the last decade or of this decade. I never understood whether 10 is part of the new or of the old decade. I think it's the last year of the old decade, and was a major factor in promoting the success of the standards. But we have adoption in Korea, in Australasia, in a number of countries, and then there are many countries which have their own standards, which are, however, basically a replica of the IFRS. So on the basis of these two indicators of performance, it's an enormous success. In the meantime, and this is the second and basic consideration at the origin of the exercise, we see a number of difficult challenges for the years to come, which may either, if everything goes well, crown the dream of high-quality global standards, or potentially represent a blow to the success that has been achieved so far. And we see three challenges which are which can go under the name of adoption, quality, and governance. Adoption is namely the question whether the end result of this wide project will be, as it should, that the IFRS are actually adopted, not merely converged to, in all the relevant geographical areas of the world. This implies two things. First, that the emphasis is shifted from convergence to adoption. Conceptually, there is a big difference between the two. To converge, convergence is a game that involves many sets of standards. Adoption means having, in the end, a single set of standards. And clearly, the objective of global standards will not be achieved if convergence was the ultimate outcome. And the second aspect of this challenge is the decision that in the United States first, but in Japan the year after, the United States will be 2011, Japan will be 2012. In these two countries, a decision will have to be made on adoption. And it is obvious that only a positive decision by the United States, which would even increase the likelihood of a positive decision in Japan, but Japan is closer to adoption today than the United States, only a positive decision will really maintain the momentum that has created over the past years. The decision will be taken next year. The implementation of the decision may take longer, but clearly the decision, if positive, will set a clear scenario for the years to follow, which will mean providing certainty to the American corporations and also setting the base for a significant cost saving, because uncertainty is expensive in itself, it will not exempt the American corporation from the need to adapt, but they will be adapt or revise their standards in a context of much greater uncertainty than if adoption is decided. The second challenge concerns quality. It is constantly with us, but it has been, in my view, revived by two elements. One is the fact that the financial crisis has brought to the forefront the issue of the relationship between financial stability considerations and investor protection or market transparency considerations. The standards are by construction and by constitution designed to meet the interests of investors. And fundamentally, we believe that those interests and the principle of transparency is not in conflict with the needs of financial stability. It remains, however, that in some aspects there may be differences, just as there are differences between the optimization of accounting standards for tax purposes or for investor protection purposes. And so there is a new debate on this, on how financial stability considerations should play in the setting of the standards. In the report that Sir David just made, we found the traces of these concerns, particularly for the standards on financial instruments. And the second challenge, I think, on quality is that as the adoption or adherence to the standards broadens globally, the problem of consistency in implementation, making sure that the message received at the end of the children game of the wireless telegraph, whispering a sentence to the next child and see at the end how the sentence is compared to the sentence at the beginning, the risk of having very different implementation around the world increases, and this will be, I think, over the next decade, one of the big challenges. Finally, there is a challenge on accountability and governance. When I present the success of this organization to the Europeans, I said that the decision, and it was an historical decision taken by the EU to elect the ISB as its standard-setting body, was taken out of disaster and despair. Disaster because the attempt to establish European standards through the usual legislative procedure has turned out to be a disaster, namely over decades there was no ability to do so, and despair because the traditional method of a particular of continental Europe to consider that standard setting is a prerogative of parliaments had to be abandoned in order to achieve the essential goal of common standards. Now, as the standards were created and adopted, the issue of governance attracted gradually more attention. And in various parts of the world, the fact that an extremely independent institution, not working under the direction of uh, political instruction had de facto the power of setting the standards, subject to a process of validation by public bodies, but still the matter is so complex that often this validation is a kind of take it or leave it process, so doesn't really allow much influence to the public bodies. This fact raised increasing discussions and attracted increasing attention, and the request for more accountability developed over the years. It, among other things, it led to the creation of the monitoring board. The challenge in the future is to preserve independence while, if possible, improving accountability and legitimacy. Well, against this background, I think that the review of the trustees will cover, will be very inclusive. It will not exclude any relevant issue. It will be very open-minded on possible improvement. It will, as I'm doing now in this public session, invite ideas and contributions from any interested party. The way we see it now is that it will cover four broad areas: the mission of the institution, its governance, the process, and we have just heard a very extensive report on the process, which is a constant concern for us, and the financing. We don't know yet what proposals our review will bring. We are conscious that the organization is based on a constitution which the trustees and only the trustees have the power to amend. It is not at all sure that changes need a change in the constitution. There may be changes in the practices, but certainly if our review is going to be a wide-ranging one, it will be conducted under the sole constraint of consolidating the success of the institution, maintaining the key of the success, which is competence, independence, and commitment to the public interest. This, I think, is the way we approach our strategy review. Eve?
Thank you very much, Tommaso, for this brilliant, very exhaustive, interesting report. I'd like to make three remarks. First, there is the same exercise in the monitoring board. So, we have to be cautious not to achieve two opposite goals. And I think during the next months, we have to find a way to work together, because in terms for the market, could be very counterproductive to have two positions, position of monitoring board, official public position, monitoring board, and position of the trustee, because we transform, in this case, the subject in a conflict between two organizations, two types of governance. So, okay, it's normal there is exercise inside the monitoring board. But I think during the next meeting with the monitoring board to try to have a method to exchange, not to arrive at conclusions which would be so different that we created a new crisis. My first remark. Second remark concerning the organization. I think you say it would be very useful that for the trustee to receive ASAP, as soon as possible, an exhaustive questionnaire that we could reflect and give to you and to the Secretary all our ideas. I have a lot of ideas, but I have not a lot of things. I have a lot of, and I think it will be useful after that to consolidate, to select, and to discuss. And when we'll have all this reaction from the trustees, I think you could have a new paper in relation with your discussion with the monitoring board, and perhaps before the next meeting of the trustee to find a way to exchange, to progress on this subject without waiting for February. On fourth and last remark, in relations with the previous one, it is a question of the timetable and the calendar. And I think it's important to have a calendar, probably in coordination with the monitoring board. But I think perhaps it will be useful to have an interim but concrete report for the next trustee meeting in Japan, I think so, in February, and with the objective to have a position, common position for the meeting of the trustee of July, perhaps. But I don't know exactly what's a good timetable, but I think coordination with monitoring board, organization, and timetable are important to conduct this exercise. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Thank you, Chairman. I too, very much appreciate the way that you've introduced this topic. If I might, though, just add perhaps an observation, particularly for those jurisdictions that are contemplating joining the IFRS journey, in that you mentioned the 2005 decision of the European Union and the circumstances in which the Union faced itself at that time, which was a difficult time. I think you mentioned disaster and despair. In the Australian context, we also made a decision at exactly the same time as Europe, and interestingly, in somewhat of a different circumstance, in that as a smaller jurisdiction, our decision was really based very much about international competitiveness. So I think that for the perspective of others that are considering joining this journey, I think that there is very much a very positive story about the IFRS effect and the benefit that it can have to a particular jurisdiction. Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is an important compliment. As a matter of fact, the EU adopted this child when it was 2 years old, 2002, not 2005. We know that adoption is successful when the child is very small, and I don't remember what is the year of Australia, but in any event, the fact is, as you said, that the same decision was taken in Australia in a very courageous way. Yes, Paul?
Mr. Chairman, just a brief comment. The paper that we had yesterday to review was a very good paper. Your summary, your presentation this morning was brilliant and thought-provoking. I hope that at our next meeting, if they schedule the time frame is, as we're discussing yesterday, March, I hope that at the next trustee meeting, a significant amount of time on our agenda is going to be blocked, you know, to take stock of where we are on this. I cannot think of... I can think of very few things which are more significant for the Board of Trustees at this point in time than to have our act together on these very significant questions that you have just described.
Any other comments? Let me briefly respond to comments that were made. Indeed, if the relationship between our review and the review of the monitoring board should be one of strong cooperation, and I'm sure that this will be the case, and we will test it in the New York meeting, joint meeting of the executive committee and the monitoring board on the 28th of October in New York. Yes, I think a good way to proceed would be to work on a sort of questionnaire that will raise a number of issues. It could be public, it could invite comments by interested parties, but it would be an instrument to organize our own work within the Board of Trustees. As to the timetable, the difficult problem is the fact that next year a major decision such as the decision about on adoption by the United States and a very important decision concerning the completion and the hopefully the validation of Standard 9, which is the most delicate standard from the point of view of the relationship between our standards and financial stability considerations, are due next year, and depending on what they will be, they may influence the environment against which the strategy for the next decade will have to be designed. It seems to me that the Board of Trustees will have to discuss this at its next meeting. I don't think we can anticipate any decision about the timing at this stage. On the request that Paul just made, yes, I think that our next meeting should devote ample time to the discussion of our strategy. Bob?
The point you make about timing is, of course, very correct, that decisions by a number of adopting countries, but certainly for next year, the U.S., will be influential on the way we conceive our strategy. What makes this difficult, of course, is the reverse of that as well is true, that decisions that we articulate about our strategy may have some influence on the decision made, for example, in the U.S. about adoption.
Thank you very much. If there are no other observations, we move to the last point of the agenda of this public session, which is an update on educational and publication activities.